terms of doing the things you wanted them to do to be successful?
I think, again, you know, the last 30 days of the season was the telltaling story for our group, from a standpoint that the things that we were doing at the beginning of the season and winning came to fruition in the last 30 days, that we weren't going to be able to win hockey games if we continued to do it, and we continued to play that way. We lacked an ability to get inside and compete, specifically on the defensive side. And then if you look at our offense and special teams, that's where the difference in the games. We didn't win many of the special teams battles in close hockey games.
Randy, is the core of this group that you preach to and demand a defensive, I guess, accountability there within this team? And if not, is the club's greatest priority in this offseason to go out and perhaps try to get those people who will adapt to your system?
I think we're not any different as far as a coaching staff. We're not asking players to do something that they haven't done before or wouldn't have done in another situation, be it junior hockey, American Hockey League. You have to play and you have to compete on the defensive side of the puck with will and commitment. And we did not want to do that on a day-to-day basis. And that's what our struggles were. We've talked about it being a puck possession team and trying to change the model of being more than just a rush team. We wanted to create more offensive zone time, thus allowing our offensive players to play with the puck 200 feet away from your net. And when we did that effectively, we were an effective hockey club, but we just didn't do it consistently. And to say that there's not going to be an evaluation done at every level and every area of our hockey club, defense is always going to be paramount. We're going to look.
Do you expect to be back next year, Coach?
I'm here today. So that's the in this business, you take on the responsibility of wins and losses, and all you do is you put your best foot forward, you be honest and forthright with people, and that's what we've tried to do as a coaching staff. Decisions will be made whether this person or that person will not be back, and I'm not the one making those decisions.
Randy, have you had a chance to talk to Brendan Shanahan yet? And if not, or if you have, or what are your thoughts on the new management structure that's now in place?
As far as having a formal meeting with Shanny, no. Obviously, yesterday, with his appointment, it was noted that I wasn't there. Well, I was working and had a responsibility of one-on-one meetings with our players, as we do at the end of every season, and that took most of the day. Yes, I have had conversations with Brendan Shanahan through the course of hellos and what's going on and how you doing and whatever, but nothing as to say a formal sit-down meeting, no.
Coach, is there a point, a moment, or a game in this season that you either regret the most or that opened your eyes in a way that alarmed you about this team, about what might happen?
I look at it, and I might be short-sighted, but I looked at it when we came back from the L.A., San Jose, Anaheim, we went to Washington. And it seemed from that point we played well enough out in California to earn some respect, earn some posture, whatever word you want to describe, confidence. And then when we came back and played in Washington and then in Detroit, we seemed to have lost our mojo as a team. And those two games were quite alarming for the coaching staff and for everybody involved, that something changed. And that's when we felt that, looking back, that was the kind of turned the tide of our season.
Were you able to establish what happened?
Well, when we came back into our building and we played well, and we probably played two of the better games that we'd played in the last five or six and still lost. Played Montreal, and I think we played Tampa, and we felt, just by our analysis, scoring chances, credibility of scoring chances, areas, time with puck, you know, where the scoring chances are coming from, we lost the games. And then our team seemed to take on that squeeze the stick mentality that we went to the breathe, let's get through this, you know, and we weren't able to get it back.
Randy, was there a point during this final stretch that you felt at any time that your message either wasn't getting through to these guys or that it was being ignored?
I don't know if you could say it wasn't getting through or it wasn't getting ignored. It was like you were behind the bench in situations and you saw that the goal, the first goal would go in and the shoulders would shrunk. And it was like that was the telltale sign, you know, there wasn't a pushback on the next shift, you know, and that's really what you ask of your group is when those things are going on, you're asking them to dig deep. Shifts after goals are most important. You know, those are the events within the game, and our response was very minimal.
Randy, I think when you look at most successful teams in the NHL, they have very strong leadership groups. A lot of people would argue that your team did not have a great leadership group. Is that something that needs to be addressed in the offseason?
I think that there's going to be a lot of investigating and a lot of assessing at different levels, and leadership will be one of them. And through the course of the season, we have leadership meetings with a group of players, and that doesn't mean just the captains. We break our groups up, and we converse with them on a regular basis. We try to do it along a 6-to-8-game schedule. So it's not really just one person that we ask questions of or expect to be leaders in their hockey club. But as when you go through situations like this, there's going to be a lot of assessing and a lot of dissecting going and taking place.
Coach Carlisle, George Longagenis from CBS 24 News. Yesterday at the press conference with Mr. Shanahan and Nonis and Mr. Leiwicki, the term culture shift, culture change came up a lot. That was one of my takeaways. What is the culture of the Toronto Maple Leafs as we stand here today, in your estimation?
Well, the one thing that we felt that we had taken steps to do was to change the culture of our group when we first got here, being in last year in the lockout season, that we'd taken steps that we would be a hockey club that would create an identity that would be hard to play against. And we never really created an identity for our hockey club this year. We didn't play to an identity. And that's what was disturbing, because we had been a competitive group in the year previous, and where we felt that this group going forward was ready to take the next step. And a lot of people felt the same way, and it didn't materialize. We seemed to be in constant change right from the first exhibition game. We get the suspension to Clarkson. Then we get into the season, then we lose Bolin. Then we lose Bozak. And then, you know, for the stretch that really was trying on us with having Nazem Kadri as our number one center, Peter Holland and Trevor Smith, we felt that if we got ourselves through that to January and the possibility of Bolin coming back, that we'd be setting our sails off and qualifying, getting this hockey club ready to qualify for the playoffs. And we got ourselves to January and we did okay. Then we come out of the Winter Classic, and we had a couple of flat games, and then we went 11-2 to get up to the break. So there was a lot of good things that were happening with some challenges put to our lineup. And when we went out west, again, that was, you guys were quoting it, there's the death march. Here we go. And that's, you remember those things. Those are flashpoints. But we got through that, and we felt pretty good about ourselves coming and having the success. We won 2 out of 3, one in Anaheim and one in L.A., which are tough buildings to win in. And then when we came back to Washington, it seemed like we lost our mojo.
Quick follow-up. So was it toughness or skill? Which was the biggest?
Well, I think that you got to have both. I think there was an identity that we want to be a hockey club. The Toronto Maple Leafs represent a hockey club that wants to be hard to play against. Now, being hard to play against is, in toughness, has various ways to describe it. And we describe it as, yes, fisticuffs are one thing, but that's not what we represent. It's more about blocking shots, more about taking a check to make a play, more about being involved physically, be a hard team to play against, and play an up-tempo, strong forechecking game. And we've done that at times, but our overall application of that, we would say we've been inconsistent.
Coach Kyle Hocking from AM 640.
A lot was mentioned yesterday during Brendan's introduction, and you've mentioned it here as well, about identity. How do you address an identity problem with a team that lacks one?
Well, what you try to do is we spend a lot of time and effort on trying to create, sell, visualize what you need to, what it needs to be a Toronto Maple Leaf. And that's a template that we ask our players to understand. This is our expectations. And for this year, we're not able to create that, as I stated earlier. And those are the things that you're going to scratch your head and bang your head against, well, why didn't it happen? Why didn't it happen? And that's what we're all asking ourselves, why didn't it happen? Because we had it in the previous shortened season, the lockout season. We were a hard team to play against. You know, a lot of people talk about the series against Boston. We remember it as, you know, we were down 3-1 to a Stanley Cup finalist and come back and made it a 7-game series. And sure, we weren't happy with what happened in Game 7 in the third period. But it took a lot for that group to reach back and be competitive against a strong hockey club, and we did those things. So there wasn't all doom and gloom, but we weren't able to put that same type of hockey club and apply it right from the beginning of this year.
And a quick follow-up, is that a change that needs to come from the coaching staff or to the roster?
Well, that's what the evaluation will bear out. There'll be people that'll make those decisions on if this coaching staff has been done a capable job and if the players and the personnel that we have here are worthy of applying themselves in that direction. That's what we're here.
Randy, you won a Stanley Cup. You've only missed the playoffs twice in your coaching career, but has this year caused you to question some of your tactics or?
It always does. It always does. If you think that you have all the answers, you're in the wrong business. There's things that you know that you'd like to do differently as a staff, as a person, as an individual. There's certain ways you deal with certain things. There's points that you felt you should have been a lot stronger on, or you should have been softer on. There's all those things. You're going to question yourself all the time.
Randy, you've had this group for roughly 150 games, I think. Does it deserve to stay together? Is there more in this group that deserves a chance to prove it?
Well, I think there's some youth in this group that we're bringing along, and those things are always part of the equation. We have two defensemen in Gardner and Morgan Riley. Now, are we going to say they don't belong? You know? Nazem Kadri's a 23-year-old center iceman that's got 50 points. Now, if you go through the stats in the league, see how many other 23-year-olds score 50 points in the league. But there are areas of Nazi's game that we've talked about. There are areas of Jake's game. So that's really hard for me to say that yes or no, one way or the other. There are parts of the group that you think are prepared to take the next step and become everyday solid NHL players. And what we're trying to focus on is the ones that we think that can have long careers and represent this hockey club the way we believe it should be represented.
What was the outcome of some of your meetings yesterday, and what are your own plans for the summer at this point?
The meetings yesterday's meetings were much different for me because the time that's been spent and the energy that's been spent through the last 30 days of reaching back and trying to generate some energy, try to generate some compassion, try to do things differently, try to motivate people to compete to a higher level, all those things wear you down. We play a lot of hockey, either play 4 games a week or 3 games a week, and we were no different. So yesterday was kind of the thing that you want to hear back from the players on how they felt, and nobody felt good about what has happened. But again, it's one of those things that you have to go through, and there's some surprising things that come back from players, something that you would never imagine, and there's some things that are pretty consistent.
3 more.
Coach, what would you change about yourself if you come back with essentially this lineup next year in terms of how much of the blame you think you should have to assume too?
What would I change? I think I'd be hard and fast on some decisions early in the season and be committed to doing them. such as? I don't really want to get into the such as. Maybe the color of the pasta at dinner. No, but I don't want to get into those things because those are things that are inside, and I think it's best suited that stays there. I just know there are things that I would do differently, and I would be hard and fast on a couple of the decisions.
Randy, you mentioned some of the surprises that came back to you yesterday. Can you share any insight with that one?
Just a defenseman, one example, a defenseman that's a young defenseman that's playing, a rover type of hockey early in the season versus more of a condensed style of hockey, a more conservative style at the end of the season. And then coming back and feeling that the leash that he was afforded in the beginning of the season, one isn't as long as the one that was afforded at the end of the season. And the coach says, well, if you would have played longer, you would have had a longer leash. You know? So it's like the chicken before the egg. But specifically that one player feeling that his leash was short, where we believed it was longer than that, it was just a kind of a surprise. And then the comparison of who he compared himself with in the league, that was kind of shocking.
What do you say to the fans of Leafs Nation across North America?
Well, I say again that we thank them for their support. We know that the passion in this market is at an all-time high in the league. We know we represent the City of Toronto and the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club. But for now, we don't have the ultimate answer to give you, and we're embarrassed by what just went down.
Thanks, Randy.
Okay.